Emmy Award-winning John Mulaney presents Everybody's in L.A., a special run of six live episodes created by and starring Mulaney that'll stream live on Netflix during the Netflix is a Joke Fest. The comically unconventional show will feature special guests where John Mulaney explores the city of Los Angeles during a week when every funny person is in it. Watch John Mulaney Presents Everybody's in L.A., debuting May 3rd live at 7 p.m. Pacific Time, only on Netflix.
This episode is brought to you by Progressive, where drivers who save by switching save nearly $750 on average. Plus, auto customers qualify for an average of seven discounts. Quote now at progressive.com to see if you could save. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. National average 12-month savings of $744 by new customers surveyed who saved with Progressive between June 2022 and May of 2023. Potential savings will vary. Discounts not available in all states and situations.
There's no place to escape to.
This is the last
podcast
on the left.
That's when the cannibalism started.
What was that?
It is dark.
It's very dark.
All right, welcome to the last podcast of the left, everybody. That's Marcus, and I'm Ben. With us, as always, we got this fellow here to my right.
Hong Kong, here's Obrowski. I got a wonton in my hat. I keep it because it's Rocky.
Oh, yeah. Why is it so lucky? What makes it so lucky?
Oh, it's the last one in the universe.
Really?
Oh, keep it for favorite. Keep it for special.
How'd you get the
Don't
last?
Don't you take my last wonton.
I have to limit how much I do Hong Kong. You know what I mean? It's just like, right. It's got to come and go. It can't always be Hong Kong.
Well, Hong Kong, of course, for the new listeners out there, the two girls with the wonderful bosoms, Hong Kong.
I'm sorry. Please stay.
Please stay.
Will you please stay? No matter what it is that he says,
no.
He's going to say horrible things.
No, I will not.
All right? I'm just saying, please. It's fine. We got this.
Either way, well, thank you for being here. Hong Kong, Henry Zebrowski. You haven't done Hong Kong in a very long time.
No. I go in and out.
So yeah. I really enjoyed hearing that again.
Yeah, it's good to do it when it's live so people can see that I'm not Asian, because when you hear my accent, you're like, is he actually Chinese?
Does he have a wonton in his hat?
Oh, my God, because I am a chameleon of character work.
That's right. His voice wraps you into a different world of racial ethnicities.
I'm the Lon Chaney of dumb podcasts.
Yes. That's right.
Very much so.
Indeed. All right. So today we're going to be discussing serial killers, which we do very often, and we've decided to fill out a baseball dream team.
Take me out to the ball game. I'm sorry. That's all I know of that song. But we're doing a fantasy baseball team.
So we're going to fill out the baseball diamond that you see behind you. And for those at home, Google baseball diamond, and then you'll see a Google image. And you can play right along with us. So let's just get to – let's start with number one. Let's start with our Steinberg of our baseball team.
Steinbrenner? Is that what you said?
Steinbrenner.
I,
they all own
I don't
teams.
Understand the fundamentals of baseball. Like, we decided to do this and put characters in baseball positions, and then I realized I don't know what each one of them does.
Well, we do know one thing. The owner controls the baseball universe.
Is that true?
Oh, absolutely.
What does an owner do?
Oh, they sit around, smoke cigars, get blown. You know, what all
Why
owners
aren't
do?
We baseball owners?
We're not smart.
Okay.
And so our owners are going to be the reptilians.
Yes. Yeah. So the reptilian overlords, these are the people that are making the big calls. They're putting people in. They know what's going on. Lord Draco, he just came here from Nibiru. He loves the smell of peanuts because they remind him of his eggs when he shoots them out of his cloaca, which is a combination of vagina asshole.
Isn't that stuff?
Yes.
So reptilian eggs smell like peanuts.
Oh, I mean to him. To us, it's different. But whatever
true,
it is,
true.
The people that made us, the people that harassed the brown people that used to live on Earth and made them into what we are today, the horrible, gangly white people.
Yeah.
Gangly.
You're gangly.
I'm like a Kirby. I'm shaped like Kirby.
Yeah.
From Nintendo.
Yeah. He is a bit more of a Kirby the love bug, and then, of course, Kirby the video game character.
Yes.
You consume all things, and I would love to drive you around sometime. All right. So
really don't like that.
No, it's disgusting.
Anyway,
it's a section when you went there.
That's really
no one
disgusting.
Wants to visualize it.
I hate that.
So we got the reptilian overlords. And,
yes.
Of course, if you want to learn more about the reptilians, listen to we talked entirely about
them. But the last 25 episodes.
The last 25 episodes.
Talking about reptilians. Because it's a big theory. And if you really want to get into it, I've got some new stuff to drop on for people who've been listening for a long time. It's like there is a B story about the resistance against the reptilians, and that's coming up.
That's right. So that'll be in the next last podcast on the left, so make sure you give that a listen.
So we should probably start with it. Do we want to start from management on down, or you want to get into the actual meat of the team?
Well, let's get to our manager first.
The manager is the one who does the day-to-day. He really decides like who we're playing against. So let's say this team is like, let's say we're going up against a New York Yankees, or we're going against a New York Mets. You know, like how the Cubans say it.
Yes.
The New York Yankees. How Derek Jeter would say it. Derek Yater, as they call him on the team.
Well, it's very difficult for him to talk with all the vagina in his mouth. But that's true. So we're going to go with a manager has to have a skill set that is controlling yet properly manipulative.
He's got to stand out. And he's also like he's driving people. He wants to pick a group of people that can do what he wants them to do.
He wants to drain as much energy out of them as they can physically expel.
And also just tap that ass when he can.
And occasionally tap that ass. So in our situation, our manager is Marcus. Would you like to reveal?
Charles Manson.
The manager of all serial killers. Like if you're going to pick someone who has got the skills, like this is a CEO material.
Yeah,
you can't have Charles Manson sitting around stuffing envelopes.
Yeah,
no, he's just the kind of guy. Mailroom guy.
No. He's gonna work his way up to schedule manager first. You know, and then he's gonna be Big Papa very soon. It's because again, it's like how are you gonna get this sort of this ragtag team of misfits that we're about to put together? How are you gonna snap them in control?
You know, baseball is on a lockout. There's nobody else to perform this wonderful physical feat that they do out there on the field. So we gotta get a bunch of serial killers.
Chucky Manson. Yeah, he's
and plus Charles Manson, he knows how to win ball games.
He does know how to win ball games.
Yeah, I mean, what you do is you find the pregnant players on the other time, and you sneak into their bedrooms at night.
I mean, he goes
just
big.
Seems to be aiming for the woman's womb. That's very interesting. He loves to kill babies.
So what position do we start with
let's
here?
Start
the
with,
team?
Let's
so what
start
do we want to call our team? I want to say, let's call it the Pig Bloods.
The
Wisconsin Pig Bloods.
The Wisconsin Pig Bloods. It sounds like a fantastic sausage, as a matter of fact.
Yes.
Let's start with our catcher and just build our way up.
No, if you're going to pitch, if you're going to picture in your head a serial killer who's going to be a catcher, who really, when it comes down to who are you going to choose?
Folks in the audience, who do you think? We got a catcher, it's a serial killer. Who do you think it's going to be?
That's actually really – that's
Ted
very
pretty good.
Oh, I mean, interesting. But you know what? Not technically a serial killer.
No, he's not
more
a serial killer.
More of a spree killer.
He is you mean a freedom fighter and
sure.
a truth seeker?
Completely accurate with all of his irrational thoughts.
Absolutely.
But good suggestion. Thank you.
Absolutely. Yeah. We're going for the more traditional route. The reason why I became a catcher because of the things that you see on television that show you who these catchers are.
You were
a
catcher?
I was a catcher for 6 years for baseball, but I don't remember the sport.
Interesting.
Yeah. John Wayne Gacy.
John
Wayne Gacy's
catcher,
got a catcher's
everybody.
Build. And also it comes down to it is that, you know, he's, you know, he's one of the boys.
One of the guys?
He's like one of those guys. It's like he's a drinker. He's a guy you want to hang out with. He's like the catcher.
He's in
the
construction.
Of the team. Yeah.
The catcher.
Blue collar guy.
He's a blue collar guy. The catcher on any baseball team has to have the largest collection of porn. And as we know, John Wayne Gacy, he was a connoisseur of nasty pages.
And something he was making himself.
That's
you know what I mean?
Right.
And he was like, oh, yeah, he was really great.
And
22 boys were dead because of him. But he's the catcher of the team.
That's
this is the kind of guy
that,
you want in there.
That's the kind of backbone you want on a serial killer fantasy baseball team. You want a man who has killed 22 boys. Not to mention, of course, he'll wear the clown makeup as a catcher, which gives the pitcher a point of focus.
Yes.
You know what? Actually, you're selling him short. 33 boys.
33 boys.
Right.
John Wayne Gacy, everybody.
Yeah. And suspected of 34 plus.
Isn't that something?
And in fact, recently they're going back to John Wayne Gacy's neighborhood because they're thinking that he may have hid more bodies in separate locations.
Well, that's what one nice thing about killing kids. You got double the room. You
know,
they're so damn tiny. I mean, you just fold them up and shove them in there.
You should
like
get
as
one of those like fun storage bags you see on infomercials where they suck all the air out.
Vacuum bag.
Vacuum sack.
Vacuum seals all the kids. And I do want to see that infomercial. It's just so convenient.
You can get the good baker's dozen kids' hands in this sack.
This is amazing. Either way, he's our catcher, and I think for good reason. Let's go to first base.
First base.
Now,
you had a solid theory as we were walking.
Well, first base is a difficult position. You have to be relatively stocky and relatively large. So
and you're a go-to guy. You're
a go-to
clutch guy.
You're a power hitter. You're a slugger. You're the Barry Bonds of your team. You're the Sammy Sosa, although I am not going to say that these folks are doing any illegal steroids. These are moral individuals.
These are moral people.
That's
yeah.
right. I'm going to give this to David Berkowitz, the son of Sam.
Yes. I can see that. Yeah.
It's a bit of a cliche answer, I think, because you know, he only killed six. He mostly missed. Which is kind of a diss.
And the best part is that he's also got a great, you know, but the best part about him is that, you know, he could trip people up because he's got that dog running up and right. down the line. That like, back and forth.
If you do,
like all up
if
on
you
people.
Do manage to get a hit and you run into first base, he'll unleash the dog on you.
Oh, yeah, and he's coming out there and he's going like, ah, kill the woman, right. kill the woman.
And I'm thinking,
like, ah, I can't concentrate.
The killing won't stop until he's had his fill of blood.
That's a good point.
God, I love him.
And also,
he had a lot of personality. My mom was very scared of him.
Yeah, she was lived in Queens at the time, right?
Did he kill women that looked like large pierogies with hair?
No, my mom was beautiful.
Oh, okay. No, I met her. I love her. No, but this is the deal as well. David Berkowitz, he did shoot, and he missed more than he made. But that is a relatively, as far as baseball goes,
but
I would give him a .400. I would give him a .400.
But also in terms of like true hand
average.
Strength is that he was using a .44. He was using a fucking Old West
right.
shoot-em-up, like
difficult
OK
gun.
Corral type gun. Mm-hmm. Big, heavy fucking steel manhammer.
Right.
You know what I mean? And so it's like you can't just like boom, he's like going out there. And he's never killed someone before because he's doing the devil's will.
That's right.
You know, it's like he wasn't trained to do this.
That's
you know, he just got he got told a job to do and he was following
when
orders.
When the devil possesses your dog, who he knows you talk to, then you will do the devil slash dog's will.
You got to do it, which means you step out there. You find the only gun that you can have. It's like, who knew? If you only knew that you could garrote people while they're sleeping.
Okay, can you go into this garrote? You've said it multiple times
a
this
garrote's
weekend.
A garrote's piano wire.
Yeah.
Oh.
Very efficient way to
weapon.
Kill someone.
Yeah.
Oh, piano wire. Beautiful. I love it. All right, so we got our first baseman is David Berkowitz. So we have the reptilians.
We should go to our pitcher.
Do you want to go to I feel like the pitcher should be done last.
Okay.
Let's just go around the bases.
Yeah.
You know, somebody just hit the ball.
What is a second baseman's, like, job?
Why are you looking at me?
Marcus doesn't know anything.
What is a second baseman's job?
A second baseman's job is to look over to third base and wave to him.
Okay.
And then look over to first base. Oh, hello. And basically, a second baseman's job is to be ready for the ball whenever the ball is hit towards him. And then he throws it to that third baseman who he's now cordial with, or that friendly first baseman.
Okay, so
I don't know.
Who should we all right, so what are we going for? You just need like is he just a solid baseball player?
He's a
man in the middle of the field.
The man in the middle of it all. The man talking to the pitcher every now and again.
Oh, so we're looking at a Dahmer here. We're looking at a Jay Dahmer.
The thing
right?
is, I guess we could do that. I was also
go-to guy.
I was thinking Zodiac.
Ooh, so the problem with Zodiac
because
is
a mysterious position for a mysterious man.
No,
that
but
is
you,
true.
That's
let's
true.
Have a debate. Let's is, go like, to the audience
you
as well.
You can't be playing baseball with a fucking sack over your head.
What do you mean?
He's got a pillowcase over his head. He can't fucking
He's
see
got
him.
Eye holes in it.
Yeah, but it's shifting around.
Jason Voorhees had a sack over his head the Jason entire
Voorhees
first
Jason Voorhees was fueled by paranormal power.
All right. So was the Zodiac Killer.
All right, here
Zodiac
I got.
Zodiac Killer was a man. He was just jealous of people in love.
Oh, please don't be so negative towards him. He's done a lot for us.
All right, this can maybe give you some information. The second baseman often possesses quick hands and feet, needs the ability to get rid of the ball quickly, and must be able to make the pivot on a double play.
I'll give it.
Oh, he's the Green River Killer.
Oh yeah,
that's a Green River Killer.
Yeah, Gary
you're
Ridge.
Snatching people up on the, you're snatching people up on the street.
Yeah,
and you got to ditch him quick. He was not caught
sure.
for years.
I know. I agree.
You know, he's again go-to guy.
He's a go-to guy. A Green River Killer. I forget his actual name.
Gary Ridgway.
Gary Ridgway. He killed upwards of 80 people.
71 confirmed victims. As many as 90.
As many as 90
God
folks.
Damn.
And he was
convicted
not gone
of 48
for a good 25 years.
Yeah.
So yeah, I think he's a solid second baseman.
He's a regular Wade Boggs of the serial killer world, and that is one of four baseball players I know.
Famous second baseman Jackie Robinson.
There we go.
He's the Jackie Robinson of serial killers.
I don't know if he broke a color barrier because he is white, which tends to be the race of most serial killers.
90% of serial killers are white males.
White
and most
power.
Of them are middle-aged.
Good job, whites.
But you don't actually see any, like, I'd love to, it's really great. If a woman wants to really make it in life, you could be a serial killer because you will shoot to the stratosphere. You will get so much attention.
Well, you'll
be the Tina Fey of serial killers.
What about Eileen Wuornos?
Of course. Well, you know, she can't
she
be
was,
in the, this
she was doing
this
things
is,
out
okay,
of,
first of all, there will be no woman on my diamond, okay? this is not, you know, a league of their own.
That shows that there's a problem. And the fact that we can't have a woman's league of serial killer baseball team
That's
members.
True.
shows that there is a fucking divide.
And not to mention, if we wanted to bring Eileen into this, hey, John Wayne Gacy's already the catcher. That's the only position that fat woman can play.
Yeah, I mean, I agree with you on that one.
Thank you.
Yeah, sure. Big woman. She could when the guy turns around third and tries to knock the ball out of her hands, she can stand her ground.
Hit him with a pipe.
Absolutely. Oh, actually, maybe she would be a great catcher. She's our backup catcher.
Yeah.
Sure. Well, yeah.
She's wonderful. All right, so we got our second baseman.
And then we said shortstop. We already knew a shortstop for me. You know, again, he's quick. He's the you're looking for the Derek Jeter of the team.
That's right.
You know. Ted Bundy.
The heartthrob.
The heartthrob of the world. He's out there. It's just like the girls mm-hmm. love him. You got to do something to put butts in the seats.
Absolutely. No, Ted Bundy sells tickets.
He's got a good face.
Ladies in the crowd, what do you think about Ted Bundy? Would you agree that he is the most attractive serial killer that's ever existed?
Right?
And yeah. If Ted Bundy came up to you and he was crippled and he was like, oh, I need help getting into my Pontiac, would you help him get it into his Pontiac? You would, even if you know that he's going to rape and strangle you.
No, you never know, but You don't know.
Oh,
that's the game.
That is the truth, though, isn't it? Yeah, and that's the thing about a shortstop. You never know when the ball's going to come towards you. You just have to be ready to act whenever. Yeah. Ted Bundy is such a perfect shortstop.
Making opportunities.
And the man he escaped from prison. He escaped from prison in Washington. That's when he went down to Florida and did his business with the sorority girls.
What's his name? Ozzie Davis? He's another famous shortstop, right? What's his
sure.
name? What's his name? Like the Wizard of Oz? What?
Ozzie Guillen. It is.
What's his name?
Ozzie Guillen.
No.
Ozymandias.
Ozymandias?
No, it's Ozzie.
We know nothing. I can't believe we even decided. We don't know what sports are.
It doesn't. Well, don't.
Ozzie Smith.
Ozzie Smith.
Yeah. Who's Ozzie Guillen? Dude, you are the. This is why we have a live audience, everybody. Thank you so much.
Thank
sir.
You for that.
I thought you were making an Ed Gein joke.
Yeah, I thought you were too. I thought you were just mashing facts together in your
first
horrible twisted.
First of all, when I make bad jokes, I do it
brain.
On purpose. Anyway, all right. So let's see here.
And so third base.
Now we're on to third base here. So let's go through our lineup really quick. So we got our Reptilian Overlords. And yeah. we have Charles Manson. We got David.
Charles Manson's barking orders, talking to himself.
Oh, he's spitting all over the place.
Loving his life.
Loving those sunflower
seeds.
Yeah.
He's got some girl with armpit hair and a swastika fucking carved her forehead next to her. He's loving his life.
Yeah. He calls her forehead the playbook. Yeah. And he just like carves it. And then, of course, we got John Wayne Gacy as our catcher. We got our first baseman who is, I'm drinking. Who is
Son of Sam.
Yeah, Son of Sam, first baseman.
And then our second baseman is the Green River Killer. We got our shortstop is the wonderful Ted
Bundy.
Now we're on
to
third base. And Marcus, what does the third baseman do?
The third baseman requires good reflexes in reacting to batted balls, as he is often the closest infielder to the batter.
I'm going to give this to Jeffrey Dahmer.
Yeah, it requires a strong arm. And he often makes long throws to first base.
Absolutely. Oh. Now, we were going to say Jeffrey Dahmer, that makes a lot of sense. But and it comes down to it for me. You know, it's like what you really want is like what's going to give the Wisconsin Pig Bugs an edge. You know what I mean? A thing that no one can see coming.
Right.
But mid fucking game.
Uh-huh.
Take out Jeffrey Dahmer. Pinhead from Hellraiser.
Yeah.
Fucking Whoa. Third base.
So Dahmer right? misses the ball.
They pull him. Oh. And who we set it in? You fucking into the box. You have a little girl out there with the box. She opens it up fucking. Hooks, shoot from the sky,
right.
Rip her skin off. She's just screaming, muscle going.
So you really do not want to get stuck on third.
What is going to strike fear into the hearts of the Colorado Rockies
mm-hmm.
is seeing a girl get flayed by ethereal spirit hooks,
uh-huh.
and then you got like he's just shooting. He's like he's got a long arm. You know what I mean? You're around. You're not going to make a move. You're going to make a move. You're going to try to steal third. Look over. Fucking Pinhead's floating there going like, I will eat your soul.
That's right. Traitor.
And here's the great thing is that Pinhead, of course, is a demon from hell. Third base is also known as the hot corner.
Isn't that something? I love all this.
I didn't even know that. And it works out.
This is educational on so many levels. And people are loving listening to it.
I just imagine he's got it would just be difficult to kind of like hang out with Pinhead. I don't know if he's like a fun guy.
I don't know. He gives you the sushi. Treatment takes all the skin off your bones, wraps you in rice. I mean, this is a nightmare
Can't
situation.
Can't wear a hat.
That's right.
And
no.
that's problem for baseball.
And that's
fashion.
Sad. I mean,
He's got a lot of great stories. If you remember in Hellraiser 2, they actually give the backstory of the man who became Pinhead.
That's right.
He was a World War I veteran.
Yeah.
Man
got,
and
that's
he's
the problem.
A little dry.
Veterans are just fucking boring.
Yeah.
They're always
I love
they're
veterans.
Just talking, hammering talking, nails talking, into their heads. Talking. You know,
yeah.
It's the closest thing that gets them back to the war. which is kind of fun. All right. So we have. I agree. So we got Jeffrey Dahmer, but he misses the throw to home. The home plate, we got to get him pushed out of there. We got Pinnon on third base. This is a
center field. This is in a pivotal role in a baseball squad.
Yes. That is
that what you call a baseball group?
A squad.
It's a squad?
Yeah, sure. Why not?
Interesting.
I agree.
I'm going to go over someone. It's like, what do you want? It's like the long ball's coming on. You want someone who's got a fucking, like, a deep fucking tool set of skills.
Right.
You know what I mean?
Yeah.
A guy that is, you're like, legends come out of center field. Mm-hmm. You know what I mean?
Right.
Like, name some famous center fielders.
Ken Griffey Jr.
Ken Griffey Jr.
No.
Ronald Brigled.
Let's go to the audience.
You've got Tommy Two-Step.
Tommy Two-Step is true. But the weirdest
John
thing was
Travolta.
Tommy Two-Step, he could only get the ball if it was within two steps of him.
Oh, he's got two steps.
He never missed it, though.
Two steps. Within two steps. You're not going to find a better center fielder.
Hey, man, you knew what you were getting when you hired Tommy Two-Step.
That's why center fielder of the Wisconsin. Playing center field for the Wisconsin Pigbloods, Jack the Ripper.
Jack the Ripper, everybody.
That's a problem, though, is it's like, you know, he keeps running back for his hat, though. That's his big thing, as he runs, he's got his cape flapping in the wind.
Outfielders must cover large distances, so speed, instincts, and quickness to react to the ball are key.
You put two whores on either side of that field, and Jack the Ripper is going to be running back and forth. Runs over, stabs another girl, catches the ball.
If there is an afterlife, that is his ultimate peril. Like, that is Jack the Ripper has two whores on either side of him, and he stabs them, but they never die. So he's just, oh, man, that one's alive.
I keep cutting her breasts off, but they keep growing back.
I don't know what to do about it.
And here's an interesting thing about Jack the Ripper is that we might be getting a two-for-one here because it's rumored that Jack the Ripper was possibly H.H. Holmes.
No way.
In fact, this rumor.
No.
I'm going to go completely against that. H.H. Yeah? Holmes is a well thought out, methodical kid. He's organized murderer. He likes it. He's a controlling fucking fuckface.
He's more of a trapdoor spider.
Jack the Ripper is an impulsive, like, rapey. He's a raper.
Yeah.
You know, he goes out there, he wants to cut off the tits and he eats them and he eats their gorgons and shit. It's like he can't be building stuff all day. He can't have architects. Plans around.
H.H. Holmes would have a television show right now. What's the name of that TV channel?
This Old House?
This Old House.
Old
House that murders a bunch of women. Yeah.
Extreme Home Makeover.
Exactly. H.H. Holmes is just a construction man.
Do you guys know who H.H. Holmes is?
You don't know who H.H. Holmes is?
He is America's first serial killer.
Oh,
he's
goodness.
Fantastic.
He built a murder mansion what he did was is that he would build wings of his house with different architects and either fire them mysteriously or murder them.
Yeah.
And to the point where it's like no one knew the actual like outlay of his house, and there was like dead hallways that would lead to like dead ends, and then he had furnaces in his basement where he would basically, there would be rooms with double mirrors, and he'd watch women in these rooms, and then he'd gas them and then send their bodies down chutes to basements where they would be burned. And he went. No one caught him for.
Nobody ever
decades.
Caught him. And they did catch him.
Yeah. Yeah.
He actually got arrested for tax evasion, I think.
Yeah.
Well, he was a notorious tax cheat.
Yeah,
well,
which tells you what the government really cares about. Well, they're tax evasion. Kill anybody you want, but give us our fucking money.
Yeah.
You know?
Tax evasion was what first put the investigator onto his trail. That's how they eventually found him. But when he was arrested, I think he had killed his wife's brother's children.
Well, he would like marry women for their money.
Yeah.
And then kill them. And he also did this whole thing under the guise of the Chicago World's Fair in the late 1800s. So there were women coming from all over the United States to try to find work in Chicago. It was kind of the first time that women were more independent. And so he would take full advantage of that, and he would bring them into their his boarding house and then just fucking slash them up.
And another thing
that
it was a real dead and breakfast.
Yeah.
Are you leaving? No, Henry, come back to the show. No, Henry, don't leave. No, I mean, it's punny. Henry, it's punny. Henry, it's come funny. Back. It's punny. It's funny.
It's funny. It's good. It's
yeah,
funny.
People love puns.
Yeah.
The New York Post is a very popular magazine.
It's bumping our numbers. Every time we do a pun, we get five more listeners.
Mm-hmm. And another thing that he would do to dispose of the bodies, that he would lower the women into vats of acid and then sell the skeletons to local medical schools.
I could only find one
of those skeletons.
God.
That would be amazing. To have in the house. I have a gigantic 6-foot plastic skeleton in my house right now, but it's not bones.
No, no. And it's full of semen.
It makes me sad.
Which is very disgusting.
I mean, I can make you some bone art if you want.
He has a full costume made out of cow bones from his family's farm.
I would rather not talk about Marcus's disgusting traits. All right, so that's our middle field, Phil. I mean, our
center field.
So H.H. Holmes is a proper
now,
replacement.
Now, coming to left field where you want again, it's a good, another, you know, rangy guy.
Yeah.
You know?
Lanky.
Lanky.
Someone who can jump.
Somebody's all over the place, moving
that's
all
right.
around.
That's
and
right.
I'm going to put out there David Icke. He's not a serial killer, but he covers a lot of ground.
That is a good point right now, which you just made.
And
do you
again,
guys know who David Icke is out there in the crowd? Okay, you got to check out David Icke. He's the one who talks about the reptilian overlords, who you now know run our team.
This thing, and he's suspecting there's something going on with the managers because the manager's got like a long face and a big weird plastic pink mask on, going like, "Yeah, David, maybe you should take left field." And he's like, "There's something up with these managers."
Yeah. Balls are whizzing past his head, but we don't have him
it's
out there.
It's the Archons.
That's right. David Icke is fantastic.
Archons is what they call people that are reptilian intelligences that are reincarnated into human bodies that are now people like Barack Obama.
Think about that.
Barack Obama. George H. Bush.
Think about that.
Think about him. He's one Princess Diana's murderer.
Think about
wasn't
that.
An accident.
Think about that.
Yep.
That's the thing with David Icke. David Icke actually is a complete lunatic who might be onto something. My favorite story about David Icke is when he met the former Prime Minister of Britain. And
pull his face off.
He tried to pull his face off.
I know there's an iguana
in that. And the Prime Minister's like, "I think there's zombies around." They're like, "That's crazy." And then David Icke, "I think he's a reptilian." Anyway, it's this vicious circle of insanity. But the story with David Icke, just to tell you how insane he is, a great example is David Icke is backstage at a studio. He's about to go on and do a television show. The Prime Minister had just finished.
Which Prime Minister? Tony Blair or David Cameron?
No, this is
Cameron.
A guy from the 70s. I forget the guy's name now. From 70 to 73.
Wilton Munson?
Wilton Munson. We might as well just go with that.
Very British.
He was the guy who started
Chuckle Buckleberry.
Yeah, he was the guy who started the English off on the beginnings of the European Union with the overall euro and the future of global currency.
About. Sure, whatever. Yeah,
global currency. Anyway, yeah.
Which is a very reptilian agenda type of thing.
Yeah, absolutely. Because you're manipulating. Because money is fake, and you just make up the numbers, and that's what makes.
Well, we nearly had a $1 trillion coin. So that's true. But basically, so David Icke is hanging out with the former prime minister, and he's like looking at him, and he's like, he looked at me. He scanned me up and down like a reptile. And he's like, "Oh, he's definitely reptilian." Guy just died. Turns out, raging homosexual. The former prime minister never was married. All these guys are like, "Yeah, we used to just fuck the shit out of that dude."
I knew he was staring at my penis in order to eat it for his sex ritual.
Right.
And it's just like, no, he just wanted to make love to you.
He wanted
David
to bang you. And David Icke could not rationalize that in his head. So he's like, "Must be a reptile."
Can you imagine going out on a single date with David Icke?
I would never want it to end.
It would be like going out
on a single date with you.
Very similar. Henry hasn't been on a date in a very long time. He's in a very happy relationship right now, and he loves his life. Now,
I just think about reptiles a lot.
Yeah. So if you want to like...
It manifests itself in conversation.
Quite a bit, but that's fine.
Yes. Every time I say Henry is happy, then just like take that in your brain, pretend your brain is a mirror, and then like reverse it. Because he is sad.
I'm fine.
No, you're great. And you look good. All right. So here we go. So we got, I think we filled out our entire team.
No. Right field.
We have right field.
And then we also got a bullpen, a mascot, and I got a cheering section.
And we never did the pitcher. Let's fly through this. We got right field again. We want a big rangy guy. When a guy out there is making a lot of moves, putting pressure on people.
Mm-hmm.
You know, what's a good one? Another one I would say is.
Can I say Fred West?
Which one's Fred West?
You know, Fred West.
Fred West is
possibly.
An amazing serial killer.
He's fucking nuts.
One of the worst. Him and his wife, they were fantastic.
Fred and Rose West.
Oh no, I know what you're talking about.
Yes.
I don't know, but
they're
again, these are homebodies. We wanted somebody who's a guy who makes a lot of moves.
I know, but
Henry Lee Lucas.
Oh, right.
Henry Lee Lucas, he killed upwards of 300 people. So he says he went around with him and his homosexual partner in crime. They would pick up drifters and murder him for pleasure.
Yeah.
Why else did he kill?
Yeah. Officially, he only killed 11 people, but confessed to over 600.
Yeah.
Okay.
Yeah. This is the kind of guy you want out there for fucking looking, make some plays.
Mm-hmm.
So he killed, he officially killed 300.
Yeah.
Confessed to over 600.
No, he officially killed 11. They say that most likely it's around 200. but he confessed to about 600.
He's like the typical. Wilt Chamberlain.
Yeah.
Big numbers.
Yeah.
Real
putting
big
up
numbers.
Real big numbers. All right, that's fantastic. First of all, I just want to say as well, let's do a quick little audible. Our medic, team medic, you know, let's say Pinhead gets injured.
Mm-hmm. Yes.
One of the hooks accidentally gets him in the eye.
Yeah.
And, of course, our medic's going to be Dr. Death, Dr. Harold Shipman, an English fella who killed over 215 people using
morphine.
But again,
my problem with this guy is that he did it easy. It's hard to strangle a woman with pantyhose. It is easy to just put morphine into a drip.
Old people.
That's why he's the team medic.
Yeah.
You know. That's it.
You know, I think you need a level-headed man for the teammate.
Absolutely.
I'm with Ben on this one.
Yeah, I mean, I still thought I think he cackled himself to sleep every night.
Oh, yeah, definitely.
You know, I still think, like, everybody was like, yeah, evil.
There was nothing
to sleep watching Frasier.
For cheering section, it was someone, a group that me and you were talking about the other day, the Chicago Rippers.
Yeah.
Yeah, the Chicago Rippers, very underrated group. What the Chicago Rippers used to do, they were a satanic ritual abuse group of people who used to kidnap women, cut off their breasts, masturbate into the breast, cut it up, and then eat it.
Ah.
They were fucking it. And,
no, apparently that's how the Mets won the 1989 World Series. It worked very well.
It also sounds like the inspiration for cocoa water. Which is kind of interesting.
And side note, one of the guys used to work construction for John Wayne Gacy.
Oh, yeah. Interesting.
Man. It's a small world out there.
Small world. It's crazy.
Wait, so wasn't the Green River Killer, weren't they cousins?
Gacy and...
No, the Green River Killers. Like, there were two cousins, right, that were doing it.
No,
who were the cousins?
No, that's not true.
It wasn't BTK. It was one... I think it was the Green River Killer, right? Wasn't it two dudes?
No, the Green River Killer was just Gary Ridgway.
What is the other prostitute spree killer in California that wasn't Green River
the
Killer?
The Hillside Strangler?
The Hillside Strangler.
Every red-blooded American man.
That guy,
and then there was
is
the Boston Strangler.
Yeah, Hillside Strangler. Yeah, that was him and his cousin.
Yes.
Yeah.
Okay.
All right.
Just clarifying, that was inside baseball talk.
Yeah,
I'm sorry.
That was inside baseball. Let's get some outside baseball talk here, and let's get to our...
Our pitcher, arguably one of the most important... like members of a baseball squad.
Right. And I want to say, before we get to our pitcher, we did a tournament of champions. We did a March Madness situation full of serial killers. And a lot of folks wrote in and a lot of folks talked to us. They said that this fella that we're about to announce was very underrated in our tournament.
Because we had Jeffrey Dahmer came out on top just because he's more of like, we understand him. You know,
we understand. I'm a Wisconsin native myself. Jeffrey Dahmer has haunted my dreams forever. But I always sort of related to the fella.
It just when nerds don't go to comedy... Sometimes they kill a bunch of people.
That's right. That's
it's just like one or the other. I'm pretty sure that those impulses lie right next to each other.
I mean, I might be trying to make zombie sex slaves with acid right now.
Who knows?
Who knows?
But instead, we take all that energy, we put it into podcasts.
Yes.
That's right.
Which I think is very important.
And other comedic events.
And online shopping.
Oh, my God.
That really
I can't
helps.
Get enough of Groupon.
I love eBay.
I love Groupon. No. All right. So our pitcher is going to be... Who do you want to... Do you want to announce it?
Oh, yeah. The man himself. You want to say, like, you know, this guy was a fucking... He's a legend. He's incredible.
Hispanic.
Very scary.
Hispanic, which is always huge in baseball.
Very good for baseball. Richard Ramirez, the Night Stalker.
Ramirez, the Night Stalker. And
because he's, again, long-limbed. Mm-hmm. This is the kind of guy you want being a pitcher. You know he's got a heck of a fucking... What's a dead ball? What's it called?
Curveball.
A curveball.
Fastball.
A knuckle bar.
Knuckleball. You never know where this guy's coming from.
That's absolutely correct.
What he does is the Night Stalker would do, and this is a thing that everyone should like watch out for, which is what he would do is he would break into homes of couples.
Is anybody in a relationship out there?
He would break into a home of couples, and then what he would do is he would hide in the house, and then you'd come home, and you'd spend a whole night not knowing that the Night Stalker was in your house, up in your closet. Like, you wouldn't look in the closet because you were never doing ever. You know, say hang out. He'd wait till you fall asleep and then come out and,
murder you at gunpoint. Let's go to bed, honey.
Oh, I'm so tired. And he's just like...
I'm going to wake up early tomorrow. And it's like,
don't
bro,
you tell me what to do.
That's
you know,
right.
It's like, I'm looking for a job.
And that's the thing. I never loved you, and you've gained 4 pounds. The deal is, the lesson with Ramirez is, whenever you want to stay up and drink all night and party, do. Because there's a man in your closet, and as soon as you fall asleep, you're a dead woman.
You're a dead person.
Or a man.
Or a dead person.
And this is the deal. With the Night Stalker, he terrified the Los Angeles area to a point where it was summertime, 105 degrees outside. A lot of folks didn't have air conditioning. They were still shutting their windows, locking them. Very uncommon for the area. No man, no woman was
very
saved.
Scary guy.
He also so he's confirmed with 28 kills. And he would have preferred, this is kind of interesting.
And he's a flashy guy. He loves the camera.
He is a flashy guy.
One of those guys who would like, yeah, because it's like when during his trial, he became notorious because he would draw pentagrams on his hands and like show them to like the court cameras. And he was.
And
like,
here's a little bit of an excerpt from a dialogue. This is from actual testimony from a witness. This is one of the women that he was tying up. He said, "You bitch, you motherfucker, you don't scream. Otherwise, I'm going to kill you. I'm going to kill your kid in the crib, and I'm going to kill your son." The woman said, and she replied, "I swear I won't. I swear I won't scream. I swear I won't go out." And he slapped her one more time and said, "Swear upon Satan."
Yeah.
And I said, "Yes, I swear on Satan I won't scream."
Well, very interesting. Cool. And ladies and gentlemen, if you also want to know what Marcus is going to be doing around 9:35 tonight, he will be masturbating to that paragraph, which is very exciting.
And then again, in a proper baseball defense, you also have to round it out. Like, you got a strong, you know, Rich Ramirez, strong opener.
Absolutely.
Yeah.
I do want to point this out. The Night Stalker, it sounds like a great name. But this is one lesson that I always enjoy with Ramirez is you can't always get what you want. And occasionally the media makes you to be something that you don't necessarily want to be. The Night Stalker would have preferred the name the Night Prowler, and he never got what he wanted.
Really? Good.
Isn't that interesting?
Good. That's
so
good.
The Night Stalker is actually a better name.
You cannot choose your nickname. It's like we had our buddy in college. You talk around. He's like, I never had a nickname. It's like, yeah. It's like, how about you guys start calling me Viper?
Ah, yes, Viper.
Yeah, and we're like, no. And then we just call.
Your new nickname is going to be like Douche.
I think we called him Viper. And they're just like, that's what you get. When you ask for a fucking nickname, you're not going to get the nickname that you want.
Yeah.
You know what I mean? Yeah, I want to be called Thor.
Can I call you Sponge Slob?
I guess you have to.
That's kind of fun.
You give someone a nickname.
Yeah. Sponge Slob Fat Pants.
Yeah.
It's kind of a fun name.
I call you Ben. That's your name.
Yeah, the original name of the Night Stalker was even worse. The media originally called him the Door-to-Door Killer.
I mean, what's he selling?
Yeah.
That's ridiculous.
Humpty Slumpty.
That sounds very
good. The Humpty
good.
Slumpty murder.
All right. So
all you want is like, and then again, you want a really good strong closer. You know, in the end, it's like, only so long he's been working. He's been playing fucking 900 games a year. I don't know how many games are in baseball. It's a lot. It's too many.
That makes sense. Yeah. I don't think there's 900 days in the year. Strong, I mean, there certainly isn't.
I'm not really sure.
I don't know.
Do they play more than one game a day? I'm not really sure.
They could.
Is it like late night? Do they film it like late night?
Where they
stack them in the afternoons?
Actually, I think the games that we're watching every year were filmed 3 years previous.
Oh, yeah.
They stack them up. That's right. We have our Night Stalker as our opener, and now you're doing you're calling to the bullpen.
Exactly. It's like, oh my, it's like Richard's looking tired. You know, he's just, he's.
Looks like the Night Stalker is getting a little fucking night tired.
Yeah.
Am I right? Night sleepy.
Looks like they're calling for a closer. Was it Pennywise the Clown from It?
Pennywise the Clown, everybody.
Because in the end, it's like a southpaw. It's like, you know, he's a tricky guy to pitch against. But if you're a giant spider, like if you turn from clown into a giant spider, you're going to trip him up. You know, it's just like, and then if you want, you could squirt him with your sticky goo.
Yeah, absolutely. Yeah. No, I've heard that.
And also, you got clown-on-clown action with Pennywise and John Wayne Gacy.
Which is just cool.
Yeah,
it's clown, right. And they have a certain communication that we'll never understand.
No.
As clowns communicate in this very bizarre thing.
Yeah, which is
thing.
Just horn honks.
But I will say this. As soon as Pennywise comes onto the field, Pinhead's going to want to leave. Because I feel like they're occupying the same hell territory.
I don't know. I think Pinhead doesn't really care. I don't think Pinhead doesn't seem like a me guy. I think he's a team player. He's got a whole crew of dudes.
Always. No, but he always shows up with a crew, dude. Remember Hellraiser 3, the guy that shot CDs at people?
I remember Clive Barker's disappointing series. Yes. But I would say, overall, I would like...
She's sad. I still love Hellraiser.
I love Hellraiser.
Boring,
I love it so much.
It's just, why have such great characters with such amazing makeup and do nothing with them?
I just feel like they all should be living in a high-rise apartment in New York City, and you see their exploits of their dating and their, friendships.
Yes. Do you want Pinhead to be played by Matthew Broderick?
Yes,
yeah,
I do. Yeah.
I would love to see that. But can we... I want to mention this fella, and Charles Whitman Jr., the sniper in the tower.
Oh, Charles Whitman.
He would be good. He was a good pitcher as well.
I think... Well, he would be a great pitcher. I think he could also be a good third baseman, because he knows how to shoot the ball right down there at home base. When the human centipede... Let's say the human centipede is up to bat. So you got three people ass to mouth, and they can really hit the ball far. So they hit the ball far. They race past Son of Sam. They race past the Ridgeway
sort of
Killer.
Like shuffle and kind of like mumble.
I mean, you can imagine how fast they have six legs. They have six legs. Yeah, they're going.
So is this a fully healed human centipede?
This is the centipede that Dr. Hader Is it? Yeah, Dr. Hader always wanted it to
Dr.
be.
Dr. Laser.
Dieter Laser. Always wanted it to be. This is the vision of the centipede that he had in his head when he was
like
so many people
like
asked him out.
Hanging out penning his human centipede like they'd all be a big happy family. Yeah.
So let's say they're up to bat, they hit the ball, and it's going very, very far. David Icke is out there in left field talking about the reptilians.
Well, he's just
staring
sitting there scribbling and talking to no one and asking everyone if he's insane.
The ball zip. This ball zip. And everyone's like, yes, you are insane. He's like, what are you saying?
The grand reptilian plot.
Interesting.
Yeah.
So the
Jack the Ripper is just stabbing a woman.
Of course, naturally.
Again, you get all these guys together. It's fun to watch, but it's bad baseball.
It's terrible baseball. Yeah. Great for murdering, though. So they race past the Son of Sam. They race past the Ridgeway Killer. They race past Pinhead, and they're getting to home base over there. You got John Wayne Gacy. Pinhead throws the ball way over John Wayne Gacy's big fat hand. He can't handle it. That's when you need somebody like Charles Whitman, the sniper in the tower, to fucking be the third baseman to stop the human centipede when they're rushing to the home base.
This man got 46 shots off.
And this is before semi-automatic rifles.
Yeah,
he
killed
was a trained Marine.
Killed
that's right.
14, wounded 32. Whew. Yeah. Man knew how to shoot.
Lee Harvey Oswald's got nothing on this
nothing.
Guy. If only they had used him as a patsy, they would have gotten JFK, they would have gotten Jackie, they would have gotten two Secret Service dudes, they would have gotten a couple people in the crowd.
That's right. And
this is
also
the guy you want. This is the guy you want on your team.
Yes, that's true. And that also reminds me...
I didn't even think about this. The other thing is also, my new question, if you're going to stop a runaway human centipede, which one do you shoot in the head?
You shoot the one in the middle.
Middle.
Yeah, you shoot the one in the middle.
Because
it's
like two people struggling.
Yeah, exactly. I mean, that's the thing. When you die, you shit. You know, so that guy in the back is having a tough time.
Because he's
eating shit. Like, literally eating human feces. And then the guy in the front, I mean, he can't carry all that load. So they're just crawling to home base at this point. It's very, very difficult.
Yeah,
that's what we need.
You just hit it with a hammer.
Exactly. Yeah. And that's what John Hearing Gacy would do.
Yeah.
And I'm also going to call in, let's say as well, let's go to the bullpen one more time.
Yeah.
George W. Bush.
Great. Oh, yeah.
Can we all, George W. Bush is the greatest serial killer of all time. So we're going to give him the pitcher spot as well. Sometimes, Pennywise can't make the closing spot.
And Osama bin Laden's just watching from heaven.
That's right. Rest in peace. Rest in peace.
Well, that one was for us. That one was
for us. That's for us. No, that's anti-American, buddy. That is anti-American.
There's no heaven.
No. And there was no Osama bin Laden. But that's fine. That's for a different episode. is it?
I don't know. Yeah. That would be an interesting episode.
Oh, I just want to be Alex Jones so bad.
I just want to see this game now.
Yeah.
What am I going to do now? I'm going to go watch real baseball?
Terrible. It's awful.
I'll put it all together.
I feel like we filled out our entire squad.
I think so.
And then, then team mascot, if you want to dress somebody up as a bear, who is the funniest, cutest one of all?
Let's give Osama bin Laden the team mascot.
No,
Martin from Human Centipede 2.
Jarvis, Human Centipede 2. He is a fucking cuddly guy.
That's true.
He's the Burgess Meredith of fucking retarded centipede makers.
And you don't dress him up as anything. You just put him in his whitey-tighties, give him a crowbar, and then he can go around doing his little thwack on like cantaloupes.
Did you guys see Human Centipede 2 there in the crown? Why are you here? What? You don't know anything about serial killers.
Human Centipede 2 is the shit.
Oh, it's
so
amazing.
Good. It's a must see.
Oh, fuck South Park.
Fuck South Park.
Sometimes Trey Madden.
Amazing. If South Park is listening, hire us.
Of course, hire us, please. Yeah. But Trey and Matt occasionally hit on sensitive subjects. It's like, make fun of Scientology. Make fun of Christianity. Make fun of Mormonism. But leave Human Centipede out of it. Leave Human Centipede out of your jokes.
Art only comes along every once in a while.
That's right.
Why make fun of it?
Exactly.
Did they make fun of the Mona Lisa?
I was going to say the Mona Lisa. Do they make fun of the thing that Michelangelo did? With the painting.
The ceiling.
The ceiling with the painting. Did anybody block that? I don't think so.
Did anyone lampoon the Statue of David?
All right. So.
We've had enough fun.
We've had enough fun, guys. So let's take it easy. So we have Martin as our mascot. I feel like overall this team is fantastic, and we're going far.
Absolutely. And I just can't wait to see them play the St. Louis Coeds. and it's just a team of just hot, scantily clad women coming out, and you just see them all like, yeah, except for John Wayne Gacy, who's just bored.
Yeah, John Wayne Gacy's bored.
Everybody else is like, I thought this was going to be the Little League World Series. This is terrible.
Gacy's bored, Dahmer's bored, Henry Lee Lucas is bored. You got to put a couple of dudes on there for them.
I guess it's true. Yeah. You get what's his name? Chad Manning, what's the guy from 21 Jump Street? Fucking Channing Tatum?
Yeah, Channing Tatum.
Yeah, get him wiggle around out there, and they'll just snap him to that.
By the
way,
this is all done like MTV's Rockin' Jock
as
well. If you guys recall Rockin' Jock, which was amazing. And so it's a softball game.
Yeah, it's a softball game.
Some degree.
Well, thank you guys so much for coming out.
This has been great. And please listen to last podcast on the left. You can find it on Cave Comedy Radio. And there's a whole bunch of different other shows on there that are amazing as well. So this has been super fun.
Take me out to the ball game.
Ow, 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 ow.
Did you get a paper cut?
No, I was just
that was you, the people getting murdered.
I was trying to be a co-ed getting killed by Ted Bundy. You imagine you're on second base and you're like, I could steal third base, but then Ted Bundy's over there licking a knife.
Extra money to sit in the close seats because then you get splattered with
blood. Oh, splatter seats!
Like, toss me a booby!
I'll splash zone. Yeah. Oh, this would be so cool.
Like a Gallagher show.
Absolutely. Well, Magoosalations, everyone.
Magoosalations. Hail Satan. We'll talk to you.
Hail Satan.
Hail me!
Hail Gene!
Emmy Award-winning John Mulaney presents Everybody's in L.A., a special run of 6 live episodes created by and starring Mulaney that'll stream live on Netflix during the Netflix is a Joke Fest. The comically unconventional show will feature special guests where John Mulaney explores the city of Los Angeles during a week when every funny person is in it. Watch John Mulaney Presents Everybody's in L.A., debuting May 3rd live at 7 p.m. Pacific Time, only on Netflix.
This podcast is brought to you by Squarespace. It's the all-in-one website platform for entrepreneurs who are looking to stand out and succeed online. Everyone knows the holidays can take a toll on your bank account. If you're looking for a creative way to increase revenue and give your family and friends the holiday treats they deserve, then you need to get started with Squarespace's new feature, Squarespace Courses. If I needed to give a class on digging holes, I'd do it. Squarespace has the tools you need to create and sell your own online course. Start with a professional layout that fits your brand. Upload video lessons to teach techniques and skills. And tailor your course with the powerful built-in Fluid Engine Editor. Plus, you can charge a one-time fee or you can sell subscriptions. Turn your creativity into income with Squarespace Courses. Head to squarespace.com for a free trial. And when you're ready to launch, go to www.squarespace.com/left to save 10% off your first purchase of a website or domain. That's squarespace.com/left.